Stick together.
You're listening to Stick Together on Community Radio.
On this week's show, we're talking to sex workers about sex work to discuss how these workers organise, and particularly how they organise in a space which has some pretty hefty legal barriers that are faced by no other group of workers in Australia. Craig Garrett, 3CR's reporter in Queensland, spoke to Eleanor Jeffries from Respect Inc. in Queensland, which has just held a three-day conference in Cairns. Eleanor's a sex worker and the state coordinator of Respect Inc. Eleanor holds a PhD in political science and has been involved in sex worker activism for the past 18 years. Here's Eleanor.
Sex worker organising in Australia in a recent sense began with sex worker groups in states and territories organising together with a desire to change the laws. So in the 1970s and 1980s, groups around the country were formalised on a very local level. Some of those groups were successful with small changes to the laws, but it really was the 1975 sex worker occupation and protest in Lyon, France, which hit the international news on the 2nd of June, that made sex worker groups around Australia and, in fact, around the world realise that people other than their own group were doing this kind of organising. Sex worker organising in Queensland formalised in recent history in 1982 with the incorporation of a group here in Queensland of sex workers. The 80s were a time of intense police harassment of sex workers. It was when sex work was heavily criminalised and run by corrupt sections of the Queensland Police, going all the way up to the higher echelons. And sex workers in southeast and in far north Queensland started organising together to talk about the impact this had on individuals and to accompany each other to court cases and to provide support for each other.
How did Respect Inc. form?
Well, Respect Inc. is the statewide sex worker organisation in Queensland. It is a peer-run body. So what that means is that only sex workers are able to join and influence the decision-making and leadership decisions of Respect. We also have affirmative action in our staffing. So all of the people employed at Respect are also sex workers. We have an office in Brisbane, an office in the Gold Coast, and Townsville and Cairns. Those offices are staffed by peer educators, and they're also supported by groups of local sex workers and volunteers who pitch in to make everything run smoothly. We run sex worker-only workshops, networking and leadership decision-making groups in all of those four areas, and also on regional outreach trips to Rockhampton, Mackay, to Bundaberg, to Mount Isa, where Respect peer educators will go out and spend a week in the regions to have contact with and social events and hear about the needs of sex workers in regional areas as well. So the organising is very much peer-to-peer. It's in sex worker-only spaces, and it's online and in written form with materials written by sex workers for sex workers.
In the Victorian studios, I caught up with Jane Green from Vixen Collective. Vixen Collective is a peer-run sex workers organisation in Victoria. Here's Jane.
I think it's important to realise that sex workers have always been organising in formal and informal ways. But a key point of sex worker organising in Victoria was the formation of the Prostitutes Collective of Victoria. And that came out of the APC, which is the Australian Prostitutes Collective, that formed in 1983. And the PCV, the Prostitutes Collective of Victoria, formally organised in the late 80s. And critically, Victoria, it was the first sex worker organisation in the world to actually get funding from government. Around that time, the Marsh and Eve inquiry had occurred in Victoria prior to the forming of the licensing laws that we now all work under. And that inquiry had actually recommended decriminalisation of sex work in Victoria, but the recommendations of that inquiry weren't followed through, and we were instead had put in place a very regulation-heavy licensing system that controlled where, when, how, and with whom sex workers work. And that's what we're left with today.
There's a campaign being run by Vixen Collective and many other groups to decriminalise sex work or reform laws in different states and territories. Obviously, down here recently, the Victorian Liberal Party endorsed the Nordic model, which has been widely condemned by sex workers. What is the ideal legal framework for Australian sex workers?
Well, I mean, the ideal legal framework, and this is recognised in Australia, but also around the world, not just by sex workers, but by health and human rights bodies, and by research on where the criminalisation has been put in place and what results that produces for workers. And that's the full decriminalisation of sex work. And that doesn't mean no regulation, it just means that our workplaces are regulations like other people's workplaces. And that's what we're asking for. We're not asking for anything different or anything better. We're asking for just the same deal that everyone else gets.
And what would you say to people who don't think it should be decriminalised, who are vocal against that campaign?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I think it's important to look at the sorts of groups that campaign against the human rights of sex workers. And historically, those groups have fallen into two categories, either right-wing religious organisations that disapprove of sex work on moral grounds and seek it to be criminalised on that basis, and groups that see themselves as feminists, but essentially campaign against sex workers' human rights because they believe sex workers is violence against women, which ignores the diversity of our workforce because there are sex workers of all genders. But also, both of those positions critically don't look at what's best for sex workers or listen to sex workers about what we say is best for us, which is being treated like other workers and having our human rights recognised and, importantly, our labour rights recognised.
Are there any particular difficulties you find given that Respect Inc. does all this organising in what I would assume is a criminalised environment?
About 80% of sex work in Queensland is overseen by the police, and then we have a small sector of licensed brothels that are overseen by a licensing authority, but that also comes under the Minister for Police. What that means is that as individuals, we are all subject to police harassment, scrutiny, surveillance, particularly in the form of surveillance of our advertising. So when we advertise, we are also vulnerable to police interpretation of the wording of our advertisement, and that is a big issue with prosecutions of sex workers in Queensland at the moment, is the issuing of PINs or police infringement notices against sex workers whose wording of their ads are perceived to be illegal by police. We also have the issue of police entrapment is legal in Queensland when it comes to sex workers. The police harassment in Queensland is very real. It's something that all of us as sex workers, we face at different times. Sex workers who already experience a degree of marginality, such as migrant sex workers or Indigenous sex workers, trans sex workers, those groups also face a heightened attention by the police. So migrant sex workers are more likely to be harassed by the police, and migrant sex workers make up a huge proportion of the entrapment and advertising crimes that the
Have you found that this type of harassment stops people from coming forward to you, or is it the other way around, that people actually do find that the role you play and the services you provide are really important?
When sex workers are harassed by police or receive a PIN or are going through criminal charges, often the first port of call is to contact a Respect office, contact one of the peer educators and find out more information about how they are going to prepare their response or defence or how they're going to plead with such a charge. So a lot of what Respect does is providing advice and support for people who have been either harassed or fined or face criminal prosecutions by Queensland Police.
And just in relation to some other laws as well, like occupational health and safety or industrial relations laws, how are sex workers able to engage with those laws?
Well, technically, sex workers in Queensland have a right to be covered by industrial relation legislation and OC health and safety protections. However, the laws act as a barrier to gaining access to those protections, because we are first and foremost regulated by the police. So if you imagine it like an onion, somewhere there at the core of the onion are those civil rights that we have along with anyone else that is living and working in Queensland. But at the moment, we can't get to access those rights because every other layer of policing is above and beyond the powers of civil authorities in Queensland. So, for example, if someone had a industrial relations complaint that they wanted to bring forward and they came to Respect Inc. in Queensland for support to do that, Respect Inc. would contact the union that covers us, which is United Voice, and coordinate an industrial relations complaint about how a worker has been treated by their boss. However, doing so requires information and admission of activities that may put that worker at risk of criminal prosecution. So the criminal prosecutions against sex workers are a very real barrier to taking up industrial relations issues or complaints.
And part of what Respect Inc. does is you've got a campaign to decriminalise sex work in Queensland. Could you just explain your aims with that?
So sex workers in Queensland are calling for the repeal of criminal laws that specifically target sex workers. So as well as the Prostitution Act, there are also sections of the Police Powers Act that specifically empower police to intervene into our daily lives and our work practices to find us guilty of minor and quite superficial breaches of the law and to pursue criminal charges against us. The call for decriminalisation is a call for the removal of those laws, so that existing civil laws that cover any individual, any worker in Queensland, such as industrial relations, occupational health and safety, that then those civil laws, those civil regulations that already exist, then we are able to gain access to them. So we are not demanding new legislation in that sense. What we are asking for is to remove the police as prosecutors of sex workers, remove the role of the police in regulating the industry and allow the existing civil regulatory bodies to regulate our industry, just like other industries, whether it be, you know, hairdressing or bricklaying or journalism, is, you know, regulated by existing civil laws.
So sex workers are well organised in Australia, and we hear that from Eleanor up in Queensland, but what are the barriers to unionism in the sense of unions as registered organisations here in Victoria?
Well, there's a number of barriers, particularly here in Victoria. We're in a different situation because around the same time that the PTV was formally organising back in the 80s, one of the key organisers actually moved into the Miscellaneous Workers Union, the LHMWU, intending to organise more effectively for workers' rights. And it didn't produce massive numbers of union members, and within 18 months that organiser left the union. But the barriers that are here now are similar to the barriers there were at the time, which is for any workers that have criminalisation applying to their work, and here in Victoria, anyone working outside the licensing system is criminalised, and street-based sex workers are specifically completely criminalised. We don't want to hand over our legal information to an organisation that then holds that. It's not safe for us to do so. And also in Victoria, private escorts are required to register with the government, and that creates a record that can never be expunged. That, in a sense, makes us criminal just by the nature of our work. Those records aren't held for any other kind of workers. It's a major barrier. And the fact that we're identified as sex workers creates potential for future discrimination, because obviously there's still a stigma attached to our work, and sex workers are discriminated against in a multitude of ways in Australia.
On June 2nd, we celebrate International Sex Workers Day. Can you tell me about how that is marked in Australia and around the world?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, International Sex Workers Day is a pivotal day for sex worker organising worldwide, and its genesis was in France. Sex workers in Lyon in 1975 actually took refuge in a church as part of a strike of sex workers across France. And were supported by the Catholic Church in doing so, which is quite pivotal. And hundreds of sex workers occupied actually five churches across France as part of the strike. And more than 20,000 workers in France took part in that action. But the reason that that's a key international landmark in sex worker organising is sex workers in France were raising concerns around their treatment by police, demanding an end to police harassment, demanding that the what at the time were called the anti-pimping laws were scrapped, because criminalising people that provide our workplaces and assist us in organising our work doesn't fundamentally help us. And it's also very relevant these days because the French government actually introduced the form of the Nordic model. And so workers in France are again protesting the situation that puts them into, the rise in violence against them because of that, the treatment by police, and the effect it's had on their standards of living and loss of income. So those are a lot of the same things that we protest here in Victoria. Our treatment by police, the way that the licensing system curtails our ability to organise our own work. And those are critical things for any workers, and we need to have that recognised.
That's it for Stick Together today. Thanks for listening, and thanks to everybody who spoke to us on this week's show. This program is produced in the Melbourne studios of 3CR and is broadcast nationally by the Community Radio Network. Podcasts for this show can be found at 3cr.org.au/sticktogether. And if you'd like to get in contact with the producers of the show, you can give us a call on 03-9419-8377 or send us an email to sticktogether3cr@gmail.com. Get in contact if you want to tell us about something that's happening at your workplace or in your union. We want to know. But for me, this is my last show for a couple of months while I go on a holiday. So enjoy the voices of Matt Kunkel and Annie McLaughlin in my absence, and I will be back after this winter. And remember, wherever you are, whatever you do, there is a union for you. My name's Sarah McKenzie, and until next time, stick together.